Today on Straight Talk Africa, developing entrepreneurs and business leaders through the Mandela Washington Fellowship. The continent's best and brightest minds are determined to make Africa better by improving her people's quality of life. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, September 10th. I am Shaka Saleh.
Well, hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, you will meet three remarkable and unique young African gentlemen who are Mandela Washington Fellows. They will share with us their business and entrepreneurship experience.
Well, what a delight to welcome them in our studio, and we are so excited that you guys are here. Coming up later in our STA inbox, our audience have written in with some encouraging words, but also questions to our fellows. We'll share some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, my colleague Paul Sisco met three extraordinary young African leaders and business entrepreneurs participating in internship here in the nation's capital.
Okay, welcome. I'm Paul.
Hey, I'm Vital.
Vital.
Nice to meet you, Paul.
Nice to meet you. And tell me, where are you from?
I'm from the Republic of Benin in West Africa. One of the things that we focused on is how to structure our business in a presentation and be able to pitch it.
Go for it.
Hi, I'm Vital Sunuvu. I'm the founder of Exportunity, a company promoting trade and investment in Africa.
He's been conducting trade shows since high school and bringing buyers and sellers together with Exportunity.com for the past 2 years. Well, what will you bring back and what have you gained?
I've gained, most of all, a network. The first thing I'll be focusing on, I'm creating a Yali club in a local, you know, high school in my town, where I'll be mentoring to make sure that they have access to this network that I've been able to benefit from. So I want to be able to provide them with the network that the U.S. have given me, and also the knowledge and, you know, the friends that I made here.
And his advice for the next generation?
Dream big, big enough to be scared by the dream, and then start working on it and never give up.
Mandela Washington Fellowship, what's the highlight? Maybe you'll be surprised for me to say that, but this program has helped me to discover Africa. But this has given me the occasion to meet 500 other special, exceptional people with exceptional background. It has shown me that there are exceptional people all over Africa who got the need to do things, to get things done, and to get things changed on the continent.
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, Junior is a public employee, a procurement manager. What's the program done for him?
It helped me to question myself and to question the system. So that I think that the first step to make things differently.
In Washington, he's an intern at the Center for International Private Enterprise, SIPE. For decades, SIPE has been strengthening democracy by supporting private enterprise and market-oriented reforms in Africa. And when he returns to the DRC,
my challenge is to make the administration more transparent and more accountable in a way to create that trust, in a way to create that trust in the private sector so that they can come to the procurement and get contract which will help them to be bigger and create the economic hub and ecosystem we are looking for.
My name is Martin Mugabe. I come from Uganda. I'm a business person. I'm an entrepreneur.
You bet he is. He's also a father of two, Marcy and Melinda, and
I run Future Investments Group Limited that farms on about 200 hectares of land in Karamoja. I also run a personal care manufacturing products company. I'm a Mandela Washington Fellow 2014.
Unstoppable, he's been developing businesses for 16 years in Kenya.
Because of the Kenya post-election violence, I lost everything.
Importing through the DRC.
We had to close for about 6 months. I was arrested by people who were not authorities. But the good thing now is that there's effort by the government of DRC to create peace, especially in the Eastern region, to create law and order.
His advice for other young Africans?
It is important that you define where you want to go, and nothing should stop you.
And a final message of concern for all Africa.
What concerned me was the number of Africans that are skilled and studied and know things that I have met here and have no intentions of going back on the continent. These are people whose skills would transform a lot of the problems we have. You know, if our leaders and governments, they don't wake up to this reality that you need to create an environment of the best talent to thrive on the continent, it will be very difficult for us to make progress. We need these people to come back. We need the best brains that are born on Africa to stay on the continent and make, you know, Africa what it should be.
Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios are three distinguished guests and the 2014 Mandela Washington Fellows. Martin Mugabe, founding managing director at Future Investments Group Limited, where he produces food and provides seasonal employment to women and prisoners. He is also a director at Twinkle Industries Limited, a cleaning products manufacturing company based in Nakawa, Kampala. Vital Sonovo, an entrepreneur and founder of Exportunity.com. He serves as a facilitator between investors and African entities and is engaged in promoting foreign direct investment opportunities for African countries. Last but not least, Junior Kashama currently serves as the procurement officer for the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo. He also provides monitoring and mentoring work to other public agencies, including the National Independent Electoral Committee, the Addis Ababa Agreement Monitoring Mechanism, and the National Society of Transport concerning procurement issues. Well, gentlemen, I have to say frankly that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Charles.
How does it feel to be on Straight Talk Africa, especially for a guy like you, Martin, who sent me a couple of emails talking about how the program had inspired you, talking about how the host is even your hero?
Well, Shaka, thank you very much. It feels great. It's challenging at the same time. But certainly it feels like, you know, when you have been struggling to get saved of your sins and then finally you're in front of God, it's exalting. You feel like you have reached where you always wanted to be. I have listened to this program and watched it for the last 10 years or so. People I live with know this very well. It has inspired me. I have listened to I have watched African leaders give their points of view of the issues that afflict our continent. I have seen people in academia, people that lead different things that really relate to our continent, come here and give their views. And every time we were discussing issues that really affect us. And I thought to myself that it was time to stop discussing the challenges that we have, but to find the solutions that will take us to the next level. So I want to thank really the appropriators of this program and for you, Shaka, for giving the ideas and for bringing out the ideas you always bring out from the people that you host on this program.
Mm-hmm.
It is inspiring very many people on the continent. And I want to say, especially to the young people out there on the continent and to our leaders, give people a chance. And you go to school, if you're going to school, get skills that you need to transform society. It is not enough to just get degrees and academic documents and pose around that you are studied. It's not enough. It's not what we want anymore. We want people who are going to create the things that the continent needs. If you are a village, everyone rides a bicycle, and you are an engineer, create an engine for the bicycle so that it's easy for your father to, you know, travel from point A to point B.
Mm.
make it possible for, you know, villagers to have access to internet so that they can have all this information that will help them to create things for the future.
I see.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Very, very humbling indeed. Vitar, what about you? Remember the first question I asked you for the camera was whether in fact you remembered to bring us some delicious pineapples from Benin.
Oh. Look, I am fortunate enough to be born in a country that has the best pineapples in the world. And as I was saying, if I was able to actually find a way to make them canned and make sure that you can have them every time you want them, you know, I will actually work on it. And actually what have been my motivation for the past years, making sure that whatever our local production, whether textile like my hat, like what I'm wearing, or our local production, making sure that it reaches the buyers wherever they are, whether in Africa or, you know, or so anywhere else. I'm really honored to be on the Straight Talk Africa. Is as you know, Robert, my friend just said, we've been watching Straight Talk Africa for the past years, and is it really a dream come true? And it's also a huge responsibility for us as young leaders to be able to come here and talk to a large majority of people. And yeah, I feel really humbled. Thank you very much for having me. And I think over the hour that we'll spend together here, I'll be able to share my views on a few points about the African development.
You're most welcome. What about the period that you have spent in the United States so far? First, of course, the Yari, now Mandela Washington Fellowship, and of course, the internship. Has it made any significant difference, that experience?
First, I was fortunate enough to be in the University of Texas at Austin. Mm-hmm. At Austin, we say hook 'em horns. it is one of the best universities in terms of business in the United States. And I was fortunate to be among 25 of the brightest minds I've ever been able to be around. We were living in the same dorm. And it was interesting because we were all alpha type, alpha females, alpha males. And the first days, it was quite interesting how we had to learn first to be followers, mm-hmm, before being leaders. And you know, in Texas, we've learned a lot in terms of how to structure our ideas, how to be able to present them. And that was the experience in Austin. We came to Washington, D.C. We had the 500 fellows, and it was actually overwhelming because so many brilliant people and so much energy that I've never seen before. And today I'm interning at the Corporate Council on Africa, which is the institution. We've been there for 25 years. 85% of the foreign direct investment from the United States to Africa is done by the member of CCA.
So Stephen Hayes,
Yeah, Mr. Hayes. Yes. He's been mentoring me so far.
I gather. Well, what about you, Junior? Did you bring us any diamonds from Bujimai? After all, you come from the diamond capital of the world, man.
I would love to, but I would. But on another hand, I wouldn't want. I would love to, but I wouldn't want that because I think that the future of our economy is not in diamond. We already have the proof. It's not in coltan. It's not in all that they've talking about. It's in agriculture. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. Because I want to have people who make agriculture. We have the best soil in our country. So it's from there that our economy will soar. Mm. It's from there that I believe it. So talking about the diamond, I think that we should put it aside a bit because there have been a lot of things now. There have been a lot of messed up on it because now we had all these initiatives who are attacking that at the point that it's at the point that anybody don't gain anything from it, that I prefer it to put it aside. And as I know that 70% of our population is still on agriculture, mm-hmm, if it's a substantive agriculture, it proves that it's from there that we must have, because we'll have a mature workforce, we'll have all the people inside, and who just have to just be skilled so that they can produce at a level that it can push forward economy.
I see. Yeah. Well, before we pause for a short break, would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is on the social networking website, Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you. So please, don't go away.
Prior to this summer's U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit, 500 young African leaders from across the continent compiled recommendations for the heads of state and government to take comprehensive action plans for the future generation to commit to reducing unemployment in Africa by supporting entrepreneurship education and funding business startups, to incorporate entrepreneurial skills development as a core component of vocational education, to commit 2% of the country's GDP to create employment opportunities, and to provide private sector incentives for youth employment, to create and implement systems to partner with youth organizations to facilitate increased skill building and special needs education, to also encourage youth and provide access to funding, opportunity, and human capital to encourage an environment for a positive development to thrive.
President Obama recently delivered a statement to West Africans in support of the international fight against Ebola.
On behalf of the American people, I want you to know that our prayers are with those of you who have lost loved ones during this terrible outbreak of Ebola. Along with our partners around the world, the United States is working with your government to help stop this disease. If you feel sick with a high fever, you should get help right away. Because with prompt treatment in a medical center, nearly half of patients can recover. Stopping this disease won't be easy, but we know how to do it. You are not alone. Together, we can treat those who are sick with respect and dignity. We can save lives. And our countries can work together to improve public health so this kind of outbreak doesn't happen again. In this urgent work, and in building a stronger and more prosperous Africa, you'll continue to have a partner in me and in the United States of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizuyi. Let me come back to you, Junior, the man from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, a country that is, in fact, in landmass, the second largest on the African continent.
That's it. And with a strategic position in Africa, given how it shares borders with many countries in Africa.
About nine, yeah.
About nine, yes. That's a real good position we can take advantage of.
It's all over the place.
You say?
It is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Whether you are going to Southern Africa, Central Africa, East Africa, almost towards West Africa, as a matter of fact.
Yes, definitely. So everybody is linked to us at a certain point. You can have even the Lac Chad. Mm-hmm. Is linked to the Congo River.
And what about the wealth, my friend? It is very, very richly endowed with almost anything one can think about, really.
Yes, that's it. That we must say that yes, it's now we really had a long story, which has brought us to the point where we are. A long story of dramas and all the things which has said at a point that it arrived that wealth we had. It says we didn't take profit from it, so that's a big problem. But now we arrive at the point that we are realizing it. Realize what can be our workforce, what the strategic position of the country, what the workforce which is inside, what can we do now? Because everything, I think, it begins with the mind. When you got a mind which is set on something, you are going to do it. And the long story we were spending during the dictatorship, during the war we had after, didn't really help us to sit down and to think much more. And that's on that point that we are trying to do. And among the things we are trying to do, even in the sector where I'm working now, is the reform in terms of procurement. Mm. So we are trying to implement a reform in a way that it can permit even the local economy to go forward, to soar in that point. That's why I get interact a lot with the private sector, and I came to get in touch with them a lot. And that is given the thing that I'm doing right now, as I'm doing an internship in an NGO which works in a way to strengthen private sector, to enhance democracy. So it really gives me hints on how things are going on the other side, so that I can understand what are really the needs of the private sector. As I'm in the public sector, how can I help them, and how can they help us so that we can succeed the private and public partnership?
Talk to us about some of the things that you have learned during the fellowship and your internship that have prepared you, for example, to go back home and make sure that this time around, whatever wealth that is found in your country benefits the indigenous people of the DRC rather than foreigners, really.
Yes. The first thing that I will say, yes, first, I came to realize something. There are a lot of things which were done for our benefit that we didn't even know. So the first problem is the information. We have first to work on the information. It's while doing my internship that I learned about the Dodd-Frank Act. Mm-hmm. And the Dodd-Frank Act was made because of what took place in my country. I didn't know.
What does that mean?
So it's around the conflict mineral. Mm-hmm. It was issued that all the people must, all the extractive industry which are in our country must disclose the information of the origin of the minerals they are exploiting. So it's the way that it allows that those people, and it's even cut, thanks to that law, it has cut the blood mineral which is coming from our country. Because of that, all the grouped arms which were around the mines have left the mines because of that. Because nobody comes again to buy their minerals from the mines, because it must be tracked. They must be keep track of the exploitation of the mineral to the supplier. Mm. And that law was made for us, and we don't know it, we don't take advantage from it. There are other initiatives which are taken on the FCPA, the Foreign Corruption Act. Mm-hmm. I don't know, FCPA. Mm-hmm. All that was made in the way to allow us to gain much more from the exploitation of our wealth. But I think now I think that the first thing which must to be done is to educate the mass.
Okay.
To educate the mass the way that they should have known what is really for them. Because that wealth is for them.
Civic
that
education.
That country is for them.
Civic education.
Yes. First, that's what we have to do. Because we are trying to, myself, and that's what I'm trying to do, is to work to minimize the gap which is existing between the leaders and the common people.
I see.
Because there's no link, there's no bond between both of them.
There's a disconnect.
At a point that even sometimes good laws are taken on another level, which can even help the private sector, nobody takes advantage from them because nobody expects something good from the governors.
I see.
So that's most of it. And I think that we should work first on that level of the information first. And after on the information that we can go on another step so that people can get now advocating for the implementation of the law which are voted.
Okay. So what about you, Martin? Any particular secrets, for example, that you have found out or that are going to create some magic so as to make you a much better business person, because you already seem to be on the right track despite your young age, really.
Oh, yes, Shaka, I have really two most important things. I feel that now I love my country and I love my continent than, I think, better than I did before I came for this program. I have got more skills. I have seen in the U.S. how everyone, practically, from the private sector and from the government, the efforts they are putting in to create jobs in USA. I have heard stories and seen specific things that are being done to attract bright people to come from across the world, to come to the United States and stay, because that is what creates wealth, and that's what creates change for better things. So what I wish for my country is that we are in position to, first of all, I have developed my skills. Right now I have seen things that I'm interning at Alco Corporation. It's the third largest agriculture equipment manufacturer in the world. So you can imagine what level of business is going on there.
What is the single most important lesson that you have learned since you went there so far?
Before you make decisions, especially in business, have all the information you need. It's not enough to just say, I love this and I want to do it.
Definitely.
Have the desire to do it, but also have the skills and the tactics to do it right. You don't make a mistake.
But what about when you come from a country, for example, whose democratic credentials are challenged? How can that country, for example, provide an enabling environment for you as an entrepreneur, frankly, to do your thing?
To be honest with you, Shaka, the thing is that when you look at the African continent right now, the glass is half full. It's not half empty. We have come from far. If you look at Uganda, for example, we have come from what they say is the Idi Amin era. I wasn't born to see what happened, but I have read what happened then. We have had the situation of the LRA war, which just ended. And we have had all these conflicts that have, you know, afflicted our neighboring countries for a very long time. There has not been a time when there has been peace. And however much we have political disagreements going on in the country right now, but when you compare with where we have come from, we are poised for the right direction. And for me, I want people to realize that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, our obligation is to make things better. And that is what we should strive for.
I see. What about you, Vital? You come from Benin, which has reasonably strong democratic credentials. How is the environment on the ground? Does it allow you, for example, to implement some of the ideas that you are learning from here?
I personally believe that I was really fortunate to be born in a country where which has the history of peace. And we happen to be positioned next to the biggest economy in Africa,
Nigeria.
Benin actually has nearly 750 kilometers border with Nigeria from south to north. We have one of the safest ports in the region and one of the most modern ports in West Africa.
Porto Novo?
In Cotonou. But I am from Porto Novo, the capital city. And Benin also has the second richest valley in Africa in terms of fertility of land. And but the challenge is that the population have not, there have not been a way to allow local producers to actually reach the local traders. I'll tell you a fun story. For my business, every 2 months I travel to Dubai. And every time I take the plane, there are 75% of the women of the market.
Really?
75% of the people in the plane are women. And they are go on the way to Dubai with a lot of cash. They go all the way to Dubai. But the fun thing is that many of the commodities they order from India, from Thailand, for example, our rice. The rice that we eat in our country comes from Thailand, but it's fun. We have the second most fertile valley in Africa.
Yes.
But the problem is the information.
The information.
And the trust. And in
you have just focused on delicious pineapples.
And it must be because of the exploitation, I think.
Yes, you know, most of our economy was shaped a certain way for our commodities to be export raw to Europe.
I see. Mm. Well, hold it there. We'll have to go for a break, and when we come back, we'll continue. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka, and thanks to everyone who's watching or listening. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
Bester Semani from Blantyre in Malawi writes, "A good business strategy to target youth should accept that young African entrepreneurs, just like in most parts of the world, are technologically driven. This calls for investment in information and communication technology to drive growth in agriculture, education, tourism, and secondary industries. We live in a global village where technology is a prerequisite for sustainable development. This is a holistic approach that can stand the test of time."
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The Mandela Washington Initiative has allowed aspiring young Africans to learn business leadership skills in the private sector and how to start their own ventures in Africa. Participants were encouraged to sharpen their skills in areas such as business ethics, social entrepreneurship, marketing, innovation, and technology in the emerging markets they live in. I covered the summit and spoke to a few of the participants to see how they would transfer what they've learned here to the continent.
I've been able to meet a couple of companies whose specific areas are into youth development, career building, exchange programs, and so on and so on. So obviously that provides a link for me in terms of implementing my programs. I know who to contact, where to get resources.
This is a grateful moment that already we've been part of this program where we gain a lot. But for me, it's going and doing more impact than Obama has done himself. How can I myself do more than that? How can I also inspire other young Africans to also believe in themselves, believe in their potential, believe in Africa?
We have been given a lot, so we should be expected to deliver a huge result or to deliver development in our respective countries.
When I go back to my country, I'm hoping to participate in the political process, to influence the policy-making decisions, and to benefit people with disabilities who have the skills.
Well, that was Robert, a fine gentleman from Uganda. Robert and I think we follow each other now on Twitter. And I hope that one day we'll be able to also have him right here in the studio. He's been watching Straight Talk Africa for a very, very long time. Meanwhile, I'm going to go to our question of the week, which we asked to our audience. What business strategies would you like to see young African entrepreneurs adopt or initiate in order to create jobs on the continent? Well, we'll begin with a comment from Edward Manukure, I think I got it right, in Accra, Ghana, who writes, Considering the vast land we have in Africa, young entrepreneurs can use agriculture to create jobs in both the cities and the villages. This will reduce rural to urban migration and lessen the pressure to find jobs in the big cities. We have the land, we have the seeds, we have the manpower, we have it all. I think actually one of our guests, the one from DRC, mentioned agriculture, which is one very important sector that definitely the youth should be thinking about. Let's go to another comment from Miraji Benderam in Tanzania, who says, there are already more opportunities available for young African entrepreneurship, but the challenge is how to implement them. Most young entrepreneurs fail to organize themselves, build partnerships, or initiate projects that can compete on the global market. You must develop a partnership to succeed, he writes. Well, Shaka and fellows, I'll let you respond to this one first, but maybe also address the comment about the rural exodus in Africa, which also can be a problem sometimes.
Now, Vitaire, how do you respond to this? How do you, for example, sensitize or sell this idea to people to fall in love with agriculture, to tell them that it is that soil that they see torn that is probably the single most important, frankly, in their lives?
Thank you, Shaka. You know, it's been many years that we told many young people go from the cities back to the villages and create farms. And I was personally part of many initiatives we made to many colleges and we spoke. And we decided ourselves to go observe those young people who went back to the villages and started producing. Mm. But there was a shocking fact. 60% of whatever is produced is wasted. Mm-hmm. Because the young producers are not marketing experts. They don't know how to market the goods. So what happens is that most of them produce and put it on the street and expect people from the cities to come and buy them. And what happens is that they get discouraged because when you spend 6 months producing a crop and then in 3 days it's gone. It's gone and 60% is wasted. They only can accept whatever the buyer gives them. That's what's happening. So I think, yes, we have to go back to the farm, but there is a need on the market for a system to actually link buyers to sellers. Mm. The sellers, the producers, and that's actually what we're working on Exportunity. We build the only mobile application that works on any type of device, including non-smartphone. In Africa, you have 720 million mobile phones, according to McKinsey.
Right.
But actually, only 10% of those phones are smartphones. And the reality is that the market is under 90%.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's actually where we work. And basically, what we built is a software that asks four questions. Do you want to buy or sell? If you want to sell, what do you want to sell? Maybe you want to sell pineapple. Which quantity? And when will it be available? And with that, we have a real-time information about what want to be sold. And the same thing for the buyers. They can tell us, we want pineapple with this quantity. Mm-hmm. And we are creating the first Exportunity Commodity Trading Center in Cotonou. We have a $200,000 investment that we made from our revenue in Cotonou, where we'll allow young entrepreneurs, young traders who are in colleges, who are looking for, you know, some money aside, to come there and trade. They see the information, oh, there was a farmer in the Malanville there who want to sell something, and there was a buyer in somewhere in Nigeria. They connect them and they make the trade happen. So that's basically the problem, and that's our response to the problem.
I see. Mariama, please share some more of the audience feedback.
Well, we'll move on to a posting from Brian Moyo in Zambia, who writes, Africa is the richest continent in terms of natural resources. So young African entrepreneurs must take advantage of this by adopting modern technologies to ensure the proper value is being received for our natural resources. This will reduce the need to import goods that can be accessible locally. Let's take a look at another one while we're at it. This time it's Omonua Okugbo in Abuja, Nigeria, who says, young African entrepreneurs should break new grounds by using innovation and technology to improve the quality of their goods and services. They should also embrace high moral standards in their business models because this will motivate stakeholders towards productivity. Very interesting comment, technology and innovation. We love talking about technology, but how can it be used to create positive changes? Social media, for example, it's a good tool, but only if it's used the right way. Interested in hearing you guys' take on that one.
Junior, you come from a country, as we said already, which has enormous resources, frankly, of precious minerals. You talk about coltan, for example. Mm-hmm. Most of the coltan that is used in the manufacture of cell phones, the smartphones that Vital was talking about, video phones, x-rays, you name it, come from your area. I also once passed through Mbujimayi, the diamond capital of the world, but one can't possibly believe, frankly, that there is an economy based even on sweet potatoes, frankly, that supports the people there.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say first, because you see, all the intention when it comes to talk about my country is attracted on that, the mineral side, but that have created, there's already a channel for that. At a point that there is a lot of things to say that, because me, from my point of view, yes, we have to take advantage of that because it belongs to the country. Right. It's for the people. Mm-hmm. It's for the people. It's for the Congolese. We must take advantage of that. But as common people don't have directly access to it, we should think about all other things which are on their range, and they can take advantage of immediately. Mm. Because while waiting for the for the outcome of diamonds and everything, at a point that, you know, first thing we must be honest that in Africa we just produce brute materials. Wrong. Materials.
We still produce what we do not consume.
Yes.
And consume, unfortunately, what we do not produce.
That's definitely, it's just because of that. It was created since the time of the colonization. It was, the economies were shaped in a way that everything must go toward the developed
the
country.
Colonial master.
So they transform the things and they send it back to us. But you will come to, these are specialists in the thing, and they will tell you real that raw material costs less than transformed materials. Okay, since we'll be on the point of only producing raw materials, our economy will not serve.
But you talk about farming, for example.
Yeah.
You used to have very, very wealthy farmers in the eastern part of your country.
Yes.
But these were mainly Greek farmers. They had plantations of all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting that the indigenous Congolese, frankly, did not learn anything from that interaction? And even more than 54 years after independence?
The question is much more complex. It's much more complex because it has gone with all the reality which has took place in that land. Because all the people who were there, they had those lands in a way that maybe didn't please the community around. Okay, at the point that it was, instead of creating that wealth it must create, it didn't create it because it was exploited in the way that people don't take advantage from it. Directly. Look, you got a plantation where you got 70% of people who are working there are not from the community around. Yes, there's a problem of qualification, you must say, all that. But it's a much more complex things. But now we had all that went on at the point that even those investors in the agriculture sector flew the country. They fled the country, okay? Because we had war, we had all the security issues, at a point that there's nothing more on that point. But now we should have to think about a new kind of economy, a new economy which wants just LOHs just to export. No, we should have created now a force which can consume even in inside first.
I see. Well, Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, a lot of passion is going on here today in this studio. That's exactly how we like it. But that'll do it for today's social media segment. Many thanks to our fellows. I hope you'll be able to inspire other Africans to do as well as you guys are doing at the moment. Best luck to you all, but I have to also say it in French for my two French-speaking here, DRC and Cotonou, DRC and Benin, with the capital Cotonou, of course. Bon courage, and my Ugandan brother, don't feel left out. I'm just gonna say it again in English. Best of luck to you.
Merci, merci, merci.
De rien. A reminder that we appreciate all your feedback, whether it's through social media or other forms of communication. Please keep the comments coming. If you are a new fan, be sure to contact us at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Simply subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
African leaders continent-wide have long sought a solution to the so-called brain drain, losing their brightest young minds to jobs in the West or Asia. Now, many talented African students who study abroad are finding opportunities to apply their skills at home. Next week, we'll examine a new trend among Africa's top intellectual talent.
A reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. The US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
The Mandela Washington Fellows, representing youth from across the continent, assembled key recommendations for their leaders to take comprehensive action plans for the future generations. When it comes to peace and regional security issues, to prioritize education and economic growth programs in Africa as a way to reduce political upheaval, social unrest, and conflict, to treat idleness and youth unemployment as a crisis that needs to be urgently addressed in order to ensure peace and regional security, to support the elimination of political and economic exclusion of young people by proactively working with these groups to address conflict. When it comes to governance and citizen participation issues, to commit to and invest in and account for proactive inclusion of youth in key leadership positions across all levels of governance, to adopt policies that ensure youth inclusion in business and employ transparency at all levels of government during the procurement process.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Today we have three outstanding and unique young African gentlemen who are Mandela Washington Fellows. They are sharing with us their business and entrepreneurship experience. Our distinguished guests are Martin Mugabe, founding managing director at Future Investments Group Limited, where he produces food and provides seasonal employment to women and prisoners. He's also a director at Trinco Industries Limited, a leading products manufacturing company based in Nakawa, Kampala. Vital Sonuvo, an entrepreneur and founder of Opportunity.com, he serves as a facilitator between investors and African entities and is engaged in promoting foreign direct investment opportunities for African countries. Last but not least, Junior Nkashama, currently serves as the procurement officer for for the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo. He also provides monitoring and mentoring work to other public agencies, including the National Independent Electoral Committee, the Addis Ababa Agreement Monitoring Mechanism, and the National Society of Transport concerning procurement issues. Once again, gentlemen, I have to say frankly that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have had the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. Thank you again.
You're most welcome. Mm-hmm. We have a lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Francis from Nigeria. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka.
You're usually terrific. How are you today?
Fine.
What is your question?
My question is, for instance, in Nigeria here, youth that are not all that encouraged to go into entrepreneurship because of even the NYSC youth scheme after a mandatory 1 year of service, a little money is given. It's not giving out to you to go out and engage into entrepreneurship, and that is why the level of unemployment is swelling up in Nigeria. So I want that, especially the procurement, your panel of discussants in the studio to highlight, maybe in their various countries, for our viewers and listeners to know how much the issue of encouraging youth in the entrepreneurship is handled in their various countries.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What about that, Martin?
Well, what I want to say is that it's true it's a challenge to get financing, especially when you are a new business person. You have not tested your idea anywhere and you're still testing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that you must find encouragement from within to begin what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because frankly, on the continent, the idea that you can begin a business and be a successful person is still a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you must motivate yourself, begin mm-hmm. something, and along the way, as you master all the challenges that you will definitely face, I can assure you that there is always a way in which, after you have found some level of success, you will always have things coming your way.
Now, by any measure, there are a lot of people who will say, Martin, you're a successful man. And there is a saying that success, in fact, is not a reward, but it is a consequence of one's efforts. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
And if you do, what is the secret behind your success?
What I would say is that find people who motivate you to become what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Have a purpose for your life
mm-hmm.
if you really want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And go for it, no matter what the environment you find yourself in is about.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that power within you that calls out to you every day and says, you can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult in most cases that you will fail along the way. I mean, failure is there and challenges abound.
Right.
There are many.
Right.
But you will not tell the story of failure after you have failed.
And sometimes you have to fail in order to succeed anyway.
I mean, you cannot learn to ride a bicycle if you never
without falling down. Huh? Yeah, so. Now, Vital, what about people who will say, wait a minute, how can I possibly begin a business when I have no capital? They talk about the almighty capital.
Mm-hmm.
Is capital really the most important, or is it in fact an idea and people?
I love what you just said. I want to give a short example. Yesterday in Dubai, we had the West African Investment Forum, where West African head of state went there. It was $19 billion of investment of commitment
mm-hmm.
made by privates
mm-hmm.
in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai is built out of sand.
Right.
So coming back to Nigeria, to my friend Francis, you're so fortunate, and sometimes I'm even jealous of you. You're born in the most populous country in Africa. In capital, most of the time, for successful entrepreneurs, never come from the government. It comes from friends and family. It come from people who believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was sitting in college, I only had one suit. I was wearing it every day for 2 years. It's a fun story for me now because I was able to afford more suits.
Yes.
But it's about go to networking events, meet people, pitch to people, perfect your pitch as you go and listen to people's advices, and you'll find somebody who will believe in you. I was able to make it, go to Dubai. We are the agent of the International Real Estate and Investment Show of Abu Dhabi today. Mm. But we would never be able to have done it if there was not friends and family and people who believed in us who made it. So it's not the government.
It's not the government.
The government makes policies, but you have to go and find people who believe in you, who can invest in you.
Now, Junior, time is not our best ally, but I have a question here.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who, they say, are held back because of traditional attitudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change these attitudes, these mindsets, so that people can begin to look at things differently in order for them to succeed?
Sometimes I think that you don't have to be afraid of shaking the system, pushing the status quo, and that's a big problem. Because as our society was made, nobody will tell you go in business. My father, myself, would tell me, find a good job in the office. Nobody wants to get the hands dirty. Nobody wants to go to farm. Nobody wants to begin something. Yes, we are afraid of beginning first. That's in our spirit all over Africa among the youngster. Because when you begin a business, you begin at the genesis. You are the genesis. You have nothing. You have to create all that. So as you don't have somebody who can encourage you, you have yourself first. And you have your purpose, as Martin have said, and I rely on that first. So when you believe in what you're doing, when you believe in what you're doing, you finally get the means to do what, to do that.
I see.
Because it helps you to have an overview of that thing. You kind of see the asset of that, the asset which will contribute for you to go forward.
Because
nobody will tell you go in the business, and there are a lot of challenges. Because when you see a lot of challenges when we are back home, you feel like you don't need to do anything.
I see. Well, Martin, there are people who will say, you've been lucky.
Not at all.
Can you walk us very, very briefly, because time is not our best ally, walk us through briefly a day in your life?
Well, I wake up in the morning, and I have customers that I would have probably talked with about 2 or 3 years, 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I receive
30 seconds.
Yeah, I receive calls. I go through what I have to do for the day. I am still manual on the workshop, and I have to work with my hands to make things happen. And I have to go out and look for customers, and I have to make deliveries, and I have to make sure that I know each and everything that's taking place. And at the end of that day, I have to sit down and see what I did for the day and whether I met my target or I didn't meet my target, and plan for the next day.
Well, thank you so much. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Martin Mugabe, Founding Managing Director at Future Investments Group Limited, Vitaro Sonovu, an entrepreneur and the founder of Exportunity.com. Last but not least, Junior Nkashama currently serves as the procurement officer for the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning is Daybreak Africa with James Butte. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, please. And remember to keep the African hopes alive. Thank you so much.